You guys may be seated.
All right. Hey, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to see you this morning. We want to experience you. I know that my heart probably echoes a lot of hearts here. I don't want to come and do a church service, speak at a church service, and I went to a service. And I know, Lord, that our hearts here don't want to attend another church service, but Lord, we want to see you. We want to experience you. We want to encounter you. We want to hear from you. We want you, and we need you. And so we ask that you would speak to us. Would you take your place at the front? Take your place in our hearts. Lord, we ask you to allow us to experience your heart. And Lord, we ask that you would come for us. Lord, make us into who you intended us to be. I give you permission now. Just want to just echo in your own heart. I give you permission, Lord. I give you access to my heart. I give you access to my life. It's a dangerous thing to say to him, but I want to give you a second to do that. Just say to him, okay. And speak to me. Open my heart. Take the words, take the scripture, and move it into the deeper places. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Welcome. I'm Randy, one of the pastors here at Adventure Church. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? Hey, it can be good or bad, right? Family can be like kryptonite. Or it can be awesome. We had a great Thanksgiving. Anybody overindulge this Thanksgiving? How many of you did really well, stayed on your diet? Like, how many of you aren't, honest this morning? Man, you know, it's permission, right? It's interesting. We were thinking about, during Thanksgiving, feasting, you know? And how many times God implemented feasts to remember what he has done. All through Scripture, he implemented these feasts. You get together and you chow down. And their feasts made our feasts look pretty tame. You know? And to remember the things God has done. Isn't it important to remember the things God has done? Why do you think he did all these remember things? Why did he do that? Because the pull of the current is always toward forgetting the kingdom of God. It's always away from the kingdom. It's always away from life as you're meant to have it, enjoy it. It feels like every morning I have to reset my walk with God. I know it's not true, but it just feels like that, you know? Maybe it is true. Maybe that's why manna only worked for a day. They had to go out and find it the next day, right? Because you can't, yesterday's walk with God won't work today, right? We are entering into a series on the theme of the Grinch. Okay? We're going to have a little fun with this. Once upon a time, there was a man who somehow, we don't know how, nobody really knows, but this man completely lost heart. And he allowed a bitterness to root in his heart. And as you know, bitterness is like dandelions. Right? If given a chance, they take over the whole yard. And if they're undealt with, they take over. And like most, he didn't have any idea that there was even a problem. In fact, he was kind of proud of his outlook, proud of his take on life. And he liked how his anger and his bitterness actually made him feel strong. In such a condition of bitterness, as we've all experienced from time to time when we're in that place, he found that those who live wholeheartedly, he found them to be quite annoying. You ever been in that place? So he isolated himself, living far away from the noise of joy and love and community, far away from that syrupy sweet community. Ugh. Right? He moved away from them, but he could still hear their joy in the distance. And so he began going about the task of hating them, and especially hating their source of joy. Christmas. Christ. See, life will either lead you to the true source of joy and life and community and love and getting your heart back, or eventually it'll harden your heart and you'll become this guy. We need the audio on.
Christmas season. Come, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Who's. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a holly Who wreath. And they're hanging their stockings. He snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
The Grinch is, it's just a parable, right? It's just a story. What's the definition of a parable? Anybody know? Huh? A story we can all relate to? A story with a point? Story that teaches us, yeah. A story that teaches deep and abiding truth, right? You know, it's interesting. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. And there's lots of stories. There's fun stories, silly stories, Nacho Libre, right? You know, Dumb and Dumber. And those stories, you know, can be fun, but then there are stories that touch something deeper. Stories that prick the heart. They speak to something written deep and indelibly in our soul, you know. And there's a big difference between like Dumb and Dumber and Nacho Libre and Saving Private Ryan or Lord of the Rings or even Princess Diaries, right? Where it's a story of this girl who just is, she's the girl that nobody talks to hardly at school. She's got one friend. But then what does she find out? What's the secret she finds out? She's really royalty and called to rule, right? She also finds out she has this beauty, right? And that speaks to some deeper things written on her soul, put there by God. He has written eternity in the hearts of men. And the Grinch parable just tells the same story of redemption that God has written on every heart. I was in the middle seat on the airplane on our way back from Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And I was sitting next to Carl, okay? And he wanted to talk and talk. And Carl's 68, and I remember thinking, I'm gonna be sitting in the middle seat, which I hate, so I'm gonna get some extra time to play my phone game, you know? And I didn't get any time on my phone game. Carl wanted to talk, and I noticed that he had some sores kind of on his arms, kind of open sores. His breathing was a little labored. I noticed they sort of wheeled him in a wheelchair, but then he was able to walk to his seat. And he talked about swimming with whale sharks. He's like, have you ever seen a whale shark? No. You know, sounds scary. And he's like, they're big and they're not, they eat plankton and they're safe. And I swam with whale sharks. And he talked all about the best way to take advantage of timeshares. Okay? Any of you into timeshare here? I mean, he lives from timeshare to timeshare. And so going a little deeper, you know, he's like, I live under the radar. I live unplugged, you know. Everything's in my wife's name, you know. No, the IRS doesn't know I exist. And he's just going on and on and on, you know. And I'm like, wow, this guy's interesting, you know. And it didn't take long to discern that Carl's paradigm is to each his own. To each his own. He talked about his wife, you know. Wife hates Mexico. She's in Florida vacationing. That's all right. To each his own. I don't care if she has other relationships. We're kind of open. To each his own. You know, he's like literally going around. He starts telling you the story of his family. And it's like things are, I mean, just story after story about just crashed relationships. His son in his late 30s still lives at home, unmarried. But he's got a good job now, you know. And he's telling the story, these stories. And he start kind of went into a little bit of a breathing episode, and he looks at me and says, "I'm not a well man." And Anya noticed his breathing, because she's medical background, and so she's like, "Are you doing okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And she says, "Are you afraid to die?" And I was like, "Whoa, you know, settle down, girl." And so she's going after this guy, you know, And he smiles with this wry smile, and he says, "I'm not afraid to die. I'll just go back with the fishes, where I came from." And so I said, "Really? That's it? We're just an accident? We just came from nothing? We crawled out of the sea, and we're gonna die, and it's all over? That's all there is?" And he says, "Well, some people believe other stuff, but to each his own." Carl has lived a life to the point where life has taught him some things, and it has caused him to become a very well-mannered, but I will not entertain a conversation that I am not in control of, Grinch. That's who he was. Nice guy. The moment we tried to turn the conversation to anything that he wasn't comfortable with, not having it. Sandra was the first girl. I don't know, she's probably the third person. Annie and I took a snorkeling trip. You know, the place you go, the hotels, "Oh, we've got a snorkeling trip you can sign up for. It's free." Well, it's really a drinking trip, right? And so, like, which we didn't realize until then. You know, so we get on this big catamaran, and there's this big net in the front. And there's a row here of Canadian girls from 16 up to 40, just all two girls and a mom. And then Sandra comes in. She sits right in the middle of the net in front of us. "Hi, I'm Sandra." And she's just gregarious, and she's sloshed. I mean, she was drunk before she got on the boat. And so she's there, and she's super friendly, and she's going from person to person on the boat. And we, like, went around. We did the snorkeling. We're like, she shouldn't be in the water. You know, she gets, and he's like, "She should not be in the water." And so she gets back out, and then we get to talking later and drinking more on the boat. There's really no going anywhere deep. But then we saw her and her boyfriend, Tim. She's been in a relationship with Tim for 3 years, off and on. They live together, but no commitments. No commitments. We said, "Hey, would you like to meet us? Would you guys like to meet us for dinner tonight?" And they were like, "Oh, we can't do it tonight. How about tomorrow night?" So we said, "Sure." And so we met him in a restaurant nearby for dinner. And she arrived very different. She was sober and calculated and constrained. Very different girl. And over dinner, you know, I'm like, I got to hear this person's story, you know. And so I asked her, you know, tell us what your life's been like. She says, "Well, I got my political science degree, And so the last 11 months, I have been on a senatorial campaign as the finance manager of that campaign. And I said, so how'd it go? Because it was post-election, right? And she's like, we lost. And so I said, what's it like to spend 11 months committed to a cause that lost? And she said, it's heart-wrenching. It's heart's devastating. And then I said, well, you know, so I'm listening to this. I'm like, well, and she said, in fact, we knew if this trip was either going to be a celebration trip or it was going to be a recovery trip. It's recovery. And I said, so what, like, if you could have your dream job that you've dreamed, you know, the job of a lifetime, what would you do? And she thought for a second. She said, I would be a lobbyist on Capitol Hill for the oil industry. So I'm like, okay, interesting. And she says, but it's almost impossible to get that job. And I said, okay, so 1 to 10, if you, you know, in terms of desirometer, okay, if you could get that job and you could be that lobbyist, you know, 1 being I could take it or leave it, or 10 being, if I don't get that job, I'll be heartbroken, which would it be? What's your number? And she said, 6. So the job of your dreams, the career of your lifetime, is a 6 on your scale of desire. She said, yeah. And then she said, I've learned that you can't plan too much because things will change. She's 25. And I was very sad when I heard that story because, you know, she has committed her life to something that deep down she could really take it or leave it. And she's an idealist, right? Losing heart. Made for a critical mission. Made, because she's in the image of God, to make a difference, change the world. But she's losing heart, and she's using alcohol to cut the pain, and well on her way to becoming a Grinch. Fast forward her life a little bit, okay? Career, been with a guy for 3 years, living together off and on, no commitments. Can you predict the next 20 years? I mean, we never know, right? But it's not looking too good as far as heart goes. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus one time met a Grinch? His name was Zacchaeus. I got a picture of him. This is Zacchaeus, okay? Zacchaeus was a tax collector, okay? What's called a public, what's the word? Publican is one of the terms used. He's a tax collector. Now, in the Roman times, the way the Romans collected taxes was basically government-assisted mob bosses, okay? So these guys could literally walk up to you, show me what you got in your wallet. Oh, today's 50% Friday. You know, we're going to collect, you know, and so they could take, you know, they were supposed to take a certain amount of taxes, and they could tax you whenever they saw you, whatever you had in your cart, whatever. They could assault you. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. You didn't get to chief tax collector in the Roman world. By the way, he's a Jew collecting taxes from who? Jews. Now, how do you think he was Mr. Popularity? Right? People hated him because there he is again, and he wants more. Right? And you didn't rise up in the, you didn't become a chief tax collector in the Roman world unless you got results. And you didn't get results unless you used thuggery. So here's who So is that appropriate picture? I think so. So here we have Zacchaeus. Let's if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19. I don't have a PowerPoint slide for the text here, so we're just going to read it. And you can listen if you didn't bring your Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So, I mean, wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Okay? So, he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I mean, isn't this so human, so real? I mean, here he is, you know, and he's the short guy. And I know what that's like, being in a crowd, you know, trying to see what's happening up there, especially if there's no stage, you know, and so he gets the idea, okay, he's a smart man, though, so he's going to go find a tree and climb, figures out Jesus' route. And when Jesus reached the spot, verse 5, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter. I love that, mutter. "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Yes, we thought Jesus was maybe a good man, but I don't know. The conservatives would not approve of him having lunch with Zacchaeus. You know? Good night. What in the world is he thinking? But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, Look, Lord. Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So Jesus is a rock star at this point. Right? He's walking through. Crowds are, you know, clamoring for him. And he used that with Zac to reach out to this wealthy man everybody hated. And again, surprise the people mutter, you know. And muttering is a common pastime. You know, what the heck? I can't believe it. You know, and Jesus knows what people would think. He didn't care. And what's amazing is this little act of love and its impact. I mean, what did Jesus do? What did he do for him? What did Jesus give him? What did he give him? I mean, just simply, what did he give him? Saw him? Huh? He was present? Time. He had lunch with him. He invited himself to his house for lunch. He just gave him time. Right? Such a little thing. You know, I think our most precious resource that we have a difficult time giving away in our culture now is not money. It's for the U.S., for the United States, for our culture, it is, you can get money, but time, it's hard to get, right? Giving time, hard to do. And Jesus says, you know what? I have time for you. I will enter into your world. And it melted. The Lord giving him time melted Zacchaeus' heart. How do you know when somebody has experienced transformation? What happens? Look at Zacchaeus right here in the text. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor. Half my possessions. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Repentance. If I have cheated anybody, I'll make it right. Deep repentance. And my resources now, I am devoted to something now that so captivated my attention, so captured me, that I will give my time, my resources, everything at my disposal to it. There's a difference between, like, you know, people, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, whatever your political party, you know, they're the people who get a little card and they make the little line, right? And then there are people who are giving, they're storming Capitol Hill, they're out campaigning, they're committed and they're giving their time, energy, resources to this cause, right? There's a difference between those two. And when somebody really experiences transformation, they become the latter. Right? All of my resources, everything goes to the kingdom of God. And that's where Zacchaeus was. See, he'd been melted by this love. Jesus shows him a little bit of love. I'll spend time with you. He reaches out to him. This love melts this man. Okay? And he sort of gets reformed from the melting into a fountain. Right? And that's why Jesus said, you will become this fountain if you're melted by, if you experience this love. When you experience God's love, have you guys encountered God's love in a way that has filled you up to where you're overflowing? You ever experienced that? That is what we have to offer to the world. The Grinch series is basically could be summed up in this statement. Is it sinking in? It's very simple. It's really a story about a community that were devoted to something higher. They loved and worshiped God. Did you remember at the end of the story? They lose everything. Remember? They lose the Christmas gifts. They lose. And what melts him? They come back together and they hold hands and they sing to who? To God. Right? It's Christmas. It's about Christmas. And they have something higher that they're filled by, and that's what melts his heart. And it fills them with love. This love melts hearts. It's what we can offer the world. It doesn't have to be epic. Jesus just gave him some time. He had lunch with the guy. And I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about my family, okay? Just one family. Let's just take one family by example. Not having a devotion to something higher, not having the Holy Spirit. And I thought about what we have done to each other as a result. Because they're not filled with the Spirit of God, because we didn't have Christ, my mom and dad were at each other's throats when I was growing up. They were both alcoholics, both had affairs. My brother Rob grew up with that, my oldest brother, and he wouldn't have anything to do with God or marriage if you asked him. He would give you some nice response, but he's not really. Think about your families, your extended families. You know, maybe you come from a Christian background. I came to Christ when I was just starting high school, so I didn't have the benefit of that. And I remember what it was like. Recently, my brother swindled my mom out of her house. She's, you know, in her mid-80s, and he got her to sign some papers that leave it to him alone. I know. It's crazy. You know, the other siblings with him are sort of circling like vultures for her to pass away so they can, you know, kind of dive in. And some of you know what that's like because you've had a parent pass away and you and you're like, wow, I didn't think my siblings would change like this. You know? But when there's money on the line, it all starts to come out, right? My mom's not speaking to two of us, right? And this is just one family. Can you think back with your family? What are the stories? Okay? What, I mean, just the pain represented in this room from this. Right? Zacchaeus is just an example. My family is just an example. This world needs Jesus. And here we are, right? We're the family of God. We have something, okay, to offer. And we have an ability to love them. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And they're lost. They are so lost. And because of it, they look out for number one, and because of that, they hurt each other. And Jesus goes out of his way to the least likely person, Zacchaeus. Can you imagine? Zacchaeus is like the people who knew him. It's like, well, that's the guy that I never would have thought would have changed. You know what I mean? That's the guy that there's no way he would ever soften. You never have anybody that in your life? Anybody like that where it's like, that's the person who would never accept Christ. You know, this is Zacchaeus. My friend David, when I grew up with, my buddy, his dad, he's a Rams fan. I mean, his life centers around the Rams. Meanest guy I ever met. I hated going over to David's house. We would avoid it like a plague. He hated going to his own house. That guy, David was praying for him 10 years, calls him up one day. I want what you have. What is this? I want to know how to have it. And David led him to Christ over the phone, and he's like, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years later, he's like, Randy, he still loves God. He still walks with God. I'm like, is he still, you know, because he's the guy. There's no way this guy would ever, you know, you just don't talk to him because he's going to bite your head off, you know. And now he's a different man, see. This little act, that, you know, for David, my friend David, a lot of acts of love. But Jesus goes out of his way to the least likely person, and the kingdom of God explodes. Last week we talked about that Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, right? It's the smallest seed, right? You plant it and it becomes this tree. The birds of the air come and they nest in its branches. Remember that? And then Wes and Judy shared about the Philippines. And Judy shares this story. I think she was standing over here, right? And she was sharing this story about there's this church that they've started as a result of their ministry of the fruit bearers. And there's several churches, but there's this one church, and there was a whole section of the church missing, because these two women were feuding in their village. And Wes and Judy are like, what are we going to do? Well, it's spiritual warfare. We're going to go pray. But Judy's going to go up and do a Bible study for these women. And she's going to fix them, right? And and Judy has the horsepower to do that. and the Lord. And so she goes on a hobble-hobble. Remember what a hobble-hobble is? It's a motorcycle. So the hobble-hobble driver drives her up. And then he comes, she sits down with these women for their Bible study, and the hobble hobble driver sits down and wants to do the Bible study. And when she got to that part in the story, my brain went off to what I would do if I were Judy. And it went into the land of, I mean, like, no kidding, I'm sitting back there going, well, here's how I would handle that, you know, Judy. And you know, it all happened in a split second. My brain went through this whole, well, this is not my mission. I flew across the world to fix this relationship between these women and fix this church and situation. So it's out of my mission. And so this guy is interrupting. They're not going to feel safe with him there because they're women. They're not going to want to talk. So I'm going to have to somehow discreetly move him out and say, sorry, buddy, we'll do a Bible study for you next week. She looks at him and goes, she looks at him. I could see her in her wheels turning. She looks at him and says, you are very important to God. You remember her saying that last week? That was the most important thing she said in that message to me. You are very important to God. And they just went on with their Bible study. And she trusted God had him there, listened to the Holy Spirit, didn't have to, it wasn't about her plan or Randy's plan or Randy's best way how to make sure your plans aren't interrupted. And the next week they had, or the next day they had two hobble drivers. See, small seed, the birds of the air are starting to come. Because she listened to the Holy Spirit, she was tuned in, right? Loving, very, is that hard to, no, you're very important to God. And she let him stay, right? It's not rocket science. She didn't, you know, read to him the encyclopedia of Bible literature or anything like that. And so, yeah. I have come to seek and to save what was lost. It takes an act of love to reach the world for Christ. If we go out of our way to love the world, they will find Jesus Christ. If we go out of our way to love the world, they will find Jesus Christ. In 1980, someone was devoted enough that summer to sign up in their church, I assume, to learn how to share Christ. And to learn how to do this survey, you know. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? You know, they used to do these surveys back in the 70s and 80s to share Christ. It's kind of a fad in the church, you know. Take a survey, ask people. And so they had this boot. So this guy, this young man, 15-year-old African-American boy, he signed up with his church and got training. I assume, I didn't talk to him about this, but now that I know how it works, I'm sure he signed up with some church program to do some evangelistic outreach in this church. And he shows up, takes his time all day long to sit in a booth at a fair the day, and he was the guy there the day I walked by. And he said, "Hey, could I get your opinion on a survey?" I said, "Sure." Me and my buddy Daniel. He sat me down, and somebody else took Daniel. And he, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes." "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Yes." "Do you know who Jesus is?" "He's the dude with long hair that, you know, is on the cross at the Catholic Church." You know, and so, I mean, I'm going through the list, right? And he says, the last question, "Would you like to know how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" I said, "Sure." He had to get training on the four spiritual laws. It's like a little booklet. And it's how to, it's just the how to become a Christian in a little booklet. And he walks me through it, and we get to the prayer at the end. "Would you like to pray and invite Jesus into your heart?" And I said, "Yes." And I prayed, and I invited Jesus Christ into my heart, and my life radically changed. Radically changed. And because he did that, because he made that sacrifice of love, I now have lived a life of joy and healing. And I have a best friend who is my closest intimate friend, who will never leave me, who talks to me and loves me. Because he did that, I've lived a life of adventure. My faith has taken me to Albania and Brazil and all over the world on mission trips. It's given me mission and purpose. He gave me a life of hope. I think of raising my kids without Jesus Christ. What would raising my kids look like had I not been introduced to Jesus Christ? I can tell you what it looked like. I grew up with it. Okay? What would the wounds I've gone through and dealing with them look like without a relationship with Jesus Christ? Choosing my career without Jesus Christ. Navigating struggles in friendships. Losing my wife. How would that have gone without him? I saw it in the hospital. In every room I walked by. One day, when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet that young man. And I'm going to get down on my knees and kiss his feet. Because of his sacrifice. Everything I have and that I hold dear is because of him that day. Now I know you're going, no, it's because of Jesus. Yeah, I'll kiss Jesus' feet and I'll worship him for the eternity, but I will get on my knees in front of that young man. And I will thank him with tears. You see, people need Jesus. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And when we plant a small seed, it becomes a big tree. It doesn't take a lot, but it does take something. It definitely takes time. I want to share with you, just now in closing, just a tool. It's the most effective tool I've found in sharing Christ. And this will be up on the website. We'll have it posted if you want this part of the PowerPoint. There's a couple things you need to assume. Number one is God is already working. Okay? God is already working. Titus 2:11, the grace of God has appeared to all men to lead them to repentance. Right? Jesus said, no one can come to me unless my Father who sent me first what? Draws him, right? So what's God doing all the time? He's drawing people. So you're not on your own. God says to you, I've already been working around you. I've been getting stuff ready for you. Okay, your neighbors, I've been prepping. Okay, so you're not in this alone. But three steps. One, you want to get into a conversation where you can say this. So Jesus said that nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay, and then the next step is explain that. What that means is, in everybody's life, there comes a time where God draws them to Jesus through some kind of supernatural experience. And then share yours. If you've given your life to Christ, you have one. I'm not talking about your testimony. It's just, how did the drawing happen? How did you first experience God tugging at you? Sunday school. For me, it was walking by a church every day on my way to school. And then the last thing is, have you ever experienced God drawing you to himself? Sure. Ask them to share their experience. Have you ever experienced anything supernatural where God was tugging at you? Because Jesus says, nobody can come to him unless the Father first draws him. So that's happening all around. Have you ever experienced something like that? Something where a supernatural thing happened where you kind of felt like God might be doing something, tugging at you? This has been amazing. People, doesn't matter where they're at, whether it be down at the bar or on the airplane or on the catamaran, they always have a story that they want to tell you about some supernatural experience that they are now attributing, because you said that, to God drawing them to Jesus. Does that make sense? And what you're doing, and if they don't have one to share, guess what's going to happen tomorrow? God's going to send one. And they're going to interpret it through the lens you just gave them. The right lens. So this has just been amazing. Right? But the most important thing is you got to get into a conversation where you can say, you know, Jesus said something in the Bible that is amazing. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who first sent me draws him. So that means that God is drawing people. He sends these supernatural experiences. Have you ever experienced anything supernatural? Like, there could be God drawing you. It's interesting. It'll open up a lot of fun conversations. Seth's going to come up and close the message here. Kind of react.
So how many people know who Sky Blake is? All right. Can we admit that everyone, if you haven't met Sky Blake, just assume that we all love him. He's part of our family. Him and his family are currently on mission in Colorado. But so Sky and I became kind of friends when he was here and he was leading a junior high ministry. And to be friends with Sky, I would like to say that it's a really comfortable, nice experience. But you will find yourself in a lot of uncomfortable situations everywhere you go. Because, like, I assume I'm like a normal person because I can feel full of life and vibrant around my church community when I'm doing ministry. But in some places where I'm not sure of the people where I'm at or work, like, I hold things back. I'm a little more conservative. Maybe I'll wait for opportunities. Sky only knows how to be one person. And he's that person everywhere he goes. And so every time I'm with Sky, I will be surprised when all of a sudden we're praying over the servers at a hotel, and then we'll be at a restaurant and then praying for our waitress, and then we'll be out playing. I remember playing frisbee golf with Sky, and we're like in between holes, and there was a group of like young teenage guys sitting in the woods smoking marijuana. And Sky goes up and just starts chatting, sharing his faith, ends up praying over the way. And I'm thinking, like, it is like an uncomfortable place to be. And where I remember thinking, like, what is it I wish? Because my first level wish is kind of like, oh, Sky, can we just play frisbee golf? But then that next level wish of what I really want is I wish I had that kind of freedom. I wish I had that kind of freedom to just be who I was supposed to be all the time. When I'm experiencing that life, and there's been moments when through this community where I've experienced that freedom, I find that I cannot help but share my story, my testimony everywhere I go. I wish I would like to say that was all the time. And there have been some things in my life, even recently in the past year, that have made me draw back a little bit. But I got a text about a month ago, and I believe it was from God, from someone to remind me of who I was supposed to be. And it was someone who I worked with 3 years ago, only for a few months. And she was in a really difficult period of her life. And she kind of had a breakdown in the office. And I had a chance to say, hey, can I just pray over you? And just do something that I had never done or would do. But just kind of stepped out and said, hey, can I pray for you? Went to a conference room, prayed. 2 weeks later, she came back and said, tell me more. And I asked the question of, I would love to share my story with you. But just understand that by you saying yes to listening to it, it may change your life in such a way that you could never go back to being the way you were. It was true because she sent me a text that said, hey, Seth, I just wanted to let you know I'm celebrating my third year of my rebirth. I was like, wow. And she said that because of our conversation, my fiance, who's now my husband, has come to know the Lord. We just had a baby. We named her Phoebe, which means the light of Jesus. And we are passing on the torch to our child. I was like, wow. God was using her to come back to me because I've kind of stepped back in some of that ways in my life, become regarded, reminding me of like, Seth, this is who you're supposed to be. This is what true life looks like. You can't help but share your glory, your story to everyone you meet, everywhere you go. If you had true freedom, true life, this is how you would be all the time. We believe that this community, that life is waiting for us, every single person in this community. This move, the major reason that we're doing this move to is so that each one of us can experience that freedom. We intend through this move that we are going to find ourselves in situation after situation, place after place, where we are going to have opportunities to share our story, how God has changed our lives, how we found freedom, how we found healing, how we found joy. And through sharing that story, our community, our families, this world is going to change. We'll impact the kingdom of God forever. And we are seeing God at work. I don't know if you've seen the little guy climbing up this rock. In the last 3 weeks, it's gone from $6,000 to $29,000 pledged. Just doubled week over week since last week. God is at work in wanting to see his kingdom change and his kingdom brought to this world. Oh, sorry. $29,000 given. What's that? $29,000 is in. Thank you, Randy. So we are seeing that God is blessing this, his favors upon this. And I would just say that for you, for us, if we are in a place where we want true life, true freedom, lean into this. Trust in this. Every aspect of your life that God wants to bring his story, his glory to, like, this is an opportunity for us as a community to do that together. Amen. Jeff, you want to come give some announcements?
Thank you, Seth. Yeah, what are your stories? Think about stories like Seth shared, like Randy shared, of just sharing your faith with people openly. What's coming, maybe in the Christmas season for you. We have a few announcements. Some of them have to do with ways to engage with our community. First one is going to be Nick. Why don't you come up and tell us about the choir?
So this Christmas Eve, we are going to continue with this theme of the Grinch. And Worship Ministry wants to put on a Whoville choir. It's going to be great, but we need your help. We need more voices. There's only about 20 of us, and I would love to see 30, maybe even close to 40 people be a part of this. We're going to be rehearsing on Saturday night, December 13th and the 20th from 6 to 7:30. If you have any questions, want to talk to me more about it, I'm going to be in the back. Please come talk. We want your voice, okay? We want your voice. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick. Another opportunity, Beth. Oh, you're right in front of me. There you go.
Don't go anywhere, Jeff. we are on the cusp of our next big event that I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, this Christmas Eve, or the Christmas tree lighting down at McCormick Park, kind of by the police station there. It's coming up this Friday. And I am not wearing my Who costume. These are just my normal clothes. But if this is as Who-ish as your clothes get, we would encourage you to find the things that don't quite go together and put them on into one outfit and show up nice and toasty, warm, and full of smiles and joy. However, if you're like, I'm sorry, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, everything I own is black and gray, that's okay. We can help you. Anya, raise your hand there. She is going to be the master of free costumes. So if you are thinking, gosh, I want to go, and I don't want to be that one lame person without a costume, then she can give you one of these baggies. There's a bunch of different color options. It's got little instructions inside and a really, really cheap and cheesy Whoville accessory. This one's for a dude. It goes like this, not like so that you don't have one of these. And then it has instructions about where to go and when. So we're hoping that as many of you as possible will join us. I know a lot of you have work schedules and that kind of thing, so taking that into account, those who have flexibility to come at 4:30 on Friday, we're going to meet here. She can either give you a baggie today, or she can have, if we have any left. I don't know. Depends. There might be some left on Friday. And we're going to do something really intentional about it, because even though, you know, we're God's kids, and when we go to an event in our community, we bring the kingdom of God to that. We show up. We are these surprise guests that come full of joy, and in our case, free cookies. But we want to do something more than that. We want to gather this Friday and prayerfully approach our endeavor to walk out into our community and really share love. So if you come here at that point in the day, we can all kind of put our hearts together before the Lord and take it to him and say, we really want to be your hands and feet, God. We want to go out and share the joy that you've given us with everybody else. Now, other ways that you can make yourself look fantastic, Maddie, would you mind decorating Jeff for us? If you're a guy, find yourself a funny little hat or an awesome top hat. Find a dollar store giant bow and some, Christmas tree tie down that's still stuck on your car. And there you go. Now you're all set. And we're going to gather. We're going to kind of guide the community. There's a new thing happening this year, which hasn't happened before if you've done the tree lighting. The chamber's doing a kind of a Santa goes down the street and the whole town lights up thing. And then we're going to be waiting for people at the crest of the hill headed down. And so when you come here at 4:30, they'll give you more instructions about this. But then we're going to kind of all go there together. And we're going to be the voice of joy that brings people down to our event. So it's a pretty cool deal. So if you need any other costume suggestions and you don't already have kooky, crazy clothes, I'm sure that I can help you think of something. And we can help you out a little bit. But for sure, see Anya for your little packet, and that'll be great. Oh, cookies. Those of you who've signed up for cookies, thank you so much. We didn't even have to, like, pitch, come on now, we need more cookies. We had more than enough that were signed up for in the first round. So thank you so much for just being awesome bakers and cheerful people. It's great.
Thank you.
One tacking on. We're also creating a Whoville band, okay? Like a goo that doesn't play anything. You don't have to have any skill. But we are looking for a tuba and some trumpets, stuff like that. If anybody knows anybody or has a tuba, find me. Or any trumpets, anything like that. They're just going to be props. Right on.
Yeah. If you have a tuba in your car and you could get it to them today, that would be great. Okay. Okay, you already advanced it. Okay, so we have a few more announcements we'll try to get through here quickly. All this information is in your bulletin as well, so you don't have to remember all the details, but we just want to bring it to your attention. We have a work party planned for December 13th from 9 to noon, and this is just an opportunity to spruce up the outside, do some cleaning around the porches. Porches are slippery even when it's not frozen, so we want to clean that up before someone gets hurt and do some work in the gardens and stuff, weeding. So if you could show up and bring some tools and stuff, that would be awesome. Before I go any further, don't want to forget the offering. So ushers, if you want to come forward, I'm just going to pray over our offering, and then we'll continue with announcements. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness, and so we worship you now. By just giving back to you, trusting that bringing our resources to you and putting them together as the family of God to accomplish your will and to build your kingdom, we trust that that is the best use of these resources. So, and we trust that you'll meet our needs. And so we just glorify you now, and we state by giving back to you that you are so good and you give above and beyond our needs. So we thank you and just pray you bless these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, they'll pick those baskets up in the back. If you're newer to Adventure, even if that's in the last 6 months and you haven't come to a newcomers class, just want to invite you to that. It'll be during the 9 o'clock service on the 14th over in the fellowship hall. And it's an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Adventure Church, what our mission is, and also what the track looks like to become a member at Adventure. Doesn't mean you're committing to be a member at Adventure to come to the class, but it gives you an opportunity to consider what that would look like to be involved in a deeper level here at Adventure Church. There's going to be a decorating party here tomorrow at noon. So that's Monday. Tomorrow, I've got my van like packed all the way up to the back of my head with Christmas stuff that we store at a barn, and I'm going to bring all that in here, and we're going to make this place look like Christmas. So if you're available tomorrow at noon, call Sandy, and that information's in your bulletin. We'd like to have Axel and Michael come up here, please, and they lead our red carpet ministry, which is the ministry that welcomes people when you come in the door, gives you a bulletin, helps you know where you need to go, sets up communion. They're our welcoming committee, the team of people that work with them. So, come on up. This service, you know why I'm having you come up, so it's a little more relaxing for you. So we just want to recognize people in our family that have given sacrificially, and they give so much of their time to what they do. They're here every Sunday early, and they leave late. Okay, they commit to meeting together to lead this team. both of them, I can say, outside of their ministry at Red Carpet, volunteer. I see them at almost every event that we have, and they're not just attending the event. They're cooking food for the event, or they're hauling tables for the event, or they're doing something extra and beyond. So we just wanted to recognize your guys' servants' hearts is an example for all of us, and we so appreciate what you guys do for us. And so we wanted to give you guys something, and you can open it this time. Not now, but you can keep those. You don't have to give them back to me after the service, like first service. So if we give them a hand for what they've done. So we totally appreciate you guys, and there's a gift card in there for you to spend some money at a really fun store. So at least it's a fun store for me, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. Bless you guys. Thanks. Want to bring your guys' attention to something that's developed in this last week, so that's why we haven't been announcing it for weeks on end. But we've had some intel, some intercessors in our family, our church family, tell us that as they've been praying, they've sensed a need for us to, in the spiritual realm, you know, we've talked about spiritual warfare and where we're at Adventure Church with that it's a fight that we need to step up and engage in. There's some prayer points that we need to go after as a church family. And so the lead team go ahead and pass those out. So they're going to pass out some of the prayer points that we're going to be praying through in an event that I'll share with you here in a second. But lead team last Tuesday took that to the Lord and said, okay, we've got this information that we need to pray about these points. Let's ask God how to go about that, what to do about it. So we walked through this building, the other building, and just asked the Lord, how do we pray as a lead team? He directed us. We prayed over some of those topics, the topics that you're seeing, but also felt like the Lord said, you guys have prayed as a lead team, and I'm going to move in power when the church family comes together and prays as well. And so we're really just following the leading of the Spirit in how to go after these things. And you guys can, you know, you're checking out those prayer points right now. What we felt like the way in which to do that is to have a 24-hour prayer time where we've got people from our community praying through every hour for 24 hours. And so we have a sign-up sheet in the back on the sound booth. You can take those prayer points because those are the prayer points to pray during your hour. Look on that chart and find hours that have not been filled yet. Fill those, you know, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. spots. And then we're going to end that at our lead team meeting Tuesday night. So it'll go 7 p.m. tomorrow night through 7 p.m. Tuesday night. And that's when we have lead team. And so we're inviting all of you to come to lead team Tuesday night. Gather in here together, pray together, worship together. And so that will kind of celebrate the end of that 24-hour prayer and just going after these things. Some of those things, as you've seen, are the spirit of division. Okay? This is a common threat to church communities, and it breaks up churches as well. So going after, you know, what things have you been experiencing? What thoughts have been hitting you lately in this season that have left you in a place of wedging? Kind of the picture we saw at Lead Team when we were listening about it is as if there's this spirit, this demon, I don't know, going around and putting up this black wall in between people. And it's a very thin, papery black wall that can be taken down, but it's just enough to keep us from seeing each other. Okay, so joining together in unity is the opposite spirit of that, and praying against that division, specifically some of the women feeling isolated, feeling not pursued. What part does the enemy have in that we can shut down? How much more life is available if we go after that together as a church community? Next point. Uh-oh. Can you advance that to number two? Okay, that's all right. Yes. So number two there, you guys have your papers. Kim Kobayashi is heading up a new women's ministry team. It's kind of been non-existent here for a little while to have a ministry, a women's ministry team. And so she's forming a team together. We look forward to having them up and doing a commissioning for them. But we want to get on it right now, praying for her, praying for that team, that they know that they're covered by all of us and that we're excited about what God's stirring in their hearts. So just pray that you would join us in that prayer, and also just for guidance from the Spirit on how to move forward into that, how to draw the women back into just being on fire and on mission with God, because that's his heart. Oh, okay. And then the last one is just remembering lead team as well in these hours that you sign up for. We're seeking the Lord. We're seeking to be shepherds like Christ is a shepherd and following after his example. You know, even in this prayer, this is totally driven by the Holy Spirit and us spending time asking him, what do we do? We've got lots of good ideas, but what do you want us to do, Lord? So pray for us as we're doing that, that we really would hear the Spirit, be led by him, continue to gain more and more of a deep heart for you guys as we lead as well. We would appreciate that. So, sign-ups are in the back there. Also, after the service, I believe Jonathan Kobayashi is going to have... Is that going to happen? You going to... Okay, so this afternoon, you'll be able to also go online if you need a little time to think about what slot to sign up for, and you can sign up for a spot. Yes, and so it's prayer and fasting. Walk with God in that, what that fasting looks like for you, okay? And what that would mean for you, just ask the Lord, what do I fast? Do I fast food for 24 hours? I know some of us will be doing that. Is it something else that's actually going to be able to help you more engage and be focused? Because the fasting, really, one of the purposes of that is to help you remember and focus on something that's more important than that thing that you're cutting out, which is to pray and to join together in unity. Okay? It's time for friends and family. Okay, as we go out, just want to address something which is a really cool aspect of our community, is we love to connect after service. That's awesome. We want to keep doing that, but we want to remember, if we have kids, and this message goes out to me too because I'm the worst at it, is forgetting to go get my kids first and getting engaged in a long conversation, and the workers who've been there for an hour and a half ministering to your kids are ready to come over here and join in the conversations too. So after I say have a great Sunday, if you have kids, if you could go grab them and then get back over here and connect and have fellowship, okay? Have a great Sunday. Hope is stirring hearts.